Committee on Healthcare Reform to order. Today is Monday, March 5th, and we are proceeding with the agenda that we announced last time with regard to going over in detail the work of the committee to this date with regard to eligibility and access benefits and transparency. The committee has, and I think most of you have, were able to pick up the copies. So, okay, we won't put that up on the overhead then. We will start through these three. It's pretty important we get as far through this tonight as we possibly can, because we will continue this on Wednesday and then have some representatives from the Oregon Health Policy Commission report on their work over the interim, some of which very much dovetails with the commission work, as it dovetails with the Archimedes proposal. I mean, there are a great deal of similarities, some differences, and the committee's job is to put as much of this through as possible. So without further ado,
Mr. Chair,
Would you please gavel in?
If you'll bang that gavel one more time, I will call the order of the Subcommittee on Healthcare Access of the House Committee on Healthcare.
For those of you that are new in the audience this evening, the Senate Special Committee is meeting with the House Subcommittee on Access. So when we finally do get all of this married together, there will be a good understanding. And really, it's a very prudent way to run the process, because we, as senators, carry some of the House's concern to the Senate floor, and the House members carry some of the senators' concerns to the House floor. And it's really how it should work, so we very much appreciate you being here. So without further ado, let's move with as much alacrity as we possibly can, and let's start off with eligibility and access. Staff, will you give a report as to how this was compiled and the compilation? And
thank you, Chair. In front of you then, and I'm hoping we have handouts for the audience as well, there are really three documents, the first being eligibility and access. We then attached next is a draft of transparency, and then one on benefits. What we did was go back through the notes and minutes of the last meetings, really from the first start of the committee, pulled out from both the notepads, flip charts, and from the minutes and from comments made by members, sometimes either just one or two word bullets, and tended to kind of script this into provisions. These are conceptual amendments. We try to take wording that would be taken then, once approved by the committee, to legislative council, that they would then turn this into the better legal sounding draft language. So there is some a little bit of license here that we expanded on some of the wording based on, again, concepts. And I think tonight's exercise is to walk through this point for point and to see if there's concurrence, what issues bullets might be added. I don't believe tonight we're going to attempt to wordsmith this. Instead, as we go through it, we'll be capturing up on the screen different just nuggets of information that you throw out and that there's concurrence on. We will then go back and flesh out these points in better detail, come back to the committee again to see if, again, we've captured your thoughts on the narrative.
And then bottom line, this is what, once we get this, the I's dotted and T's crossed, and I think that's, you know, the point we're at. Once we get the I's dotted, T's crossed, then that's what we're going to take to LC to proffer as amendments to 329. There'll be more, but, I mean, this is as far as we've gotten so far on some of these key subjects. So, anyway, let's start with eligibility and access and...
Mr. Chair, I'd actually like to propose a little wordsmithing, which will make the conceptual point that I'd like to make. I would like to include on line 2 after high-quality health care, the phrase for all Oregonians. We don't really get to that point until midway through page 3, I think, and it seems to me this is the point, I think, to make.
My only quibble, and it's a quibble, is at this juncture what we're contemplating, at least in 329, is the self-insured would be excluded out of that pool. But I'm comfortable in putting it in because that's really what we're talking about here.
Yeah, if they already have access, then I think they have access.
But the entity, we're talking about the entity, the healthcare trust or whatever we really end up calling this, they will not be responsible for providing that healthcare to those with a robust, legitimate.
Well, I'm not sure that's true. I mean, I think if this is organized in a way that might make sense, the self-insureds might be delighted to say,
oh, that would be our hope.
And do it. But I don't think it's necessary. I think if you read it, it says the entity shall develop policies and procedures that will enhance Oregonians' health and well-being by promoting access to high-quality health care for all Oregonians that is effective, safe. I mean, it talks about promoting it. It doesn't say that the entity will provide it.
Certainly some of the entity's action will help. Just so you know, Mitch, I've already penciled it in on my copy. So, Representative Maurer, you have any comment or thought on that?
No, not on his comment. Not on his comment.
So let's take this page by page. Let's just do the first page of eligibility and access, then we'll flip over to the second. Let's just take a moment and all of us look at the first page of eligibility and access. So we can just sign off on that page, make tweaks.
We all looking good.
Representative Maurer.
Thank you. And I'm not sure where it's appropriate in this document, but some sort of a comment to the extent that the resources are not unlimited, and that there is a limit to what we can do.
There might be a place to do that on page 3 in that section on line 12, that section that starts with 4, which is talking about the 5-year plan for evaluating. I mean, that may talk about, are you designing something within the bounds of affordable resources or something like that? I mean, that may be a place. I agree. This needs to point out it's not unlimited for everything.
Yeah, it's not unlimited access to unlimited health care. I think we get into that really in benefits.
Okay.
I think that's a more appropriate place for that. I mean, here we're trying to talk about
how that's fine.
Yeah. I see everyone flipping over the various pages. I think that's good. Are we all feeling comfortable on page 1?
Actually, Ben, the point before that for all Oregonians is at the beginning of the benefits thing, so it would be whichever one comes first.
Yeah, it's...
it's in there on the other side.
So much of all of this and what we've been struggling through the last, 10 days, 2 weeks is... you try to isolate a subject, and it's also interrelated.
Yeah.
It's a hydraulic in some regards, and it just blushes over into different categories of what we're all concerned about. So,
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to kind of reiterate what I said a couple of weeks ago, in that I'm not in agreement with the process, but as far as the wordsmithing is concerned, I have no problem with that. Just the idea of creating an entity that's going to develop the policy, develop the oversight, develop the management, and somehow be acceptable to 51% of the population of the state, I think is going to be an impossible challenge. But nevertheless, that's the course that the committee is taking, and I certainly want to participate as we proceed. I'm just not convinced yet that that's going to work.
And if you'd like, I can run down there to Senator Cruz's place and reiterate the same thing. So are we looking good, feeling good on page one? All right, let's pop. By the way, I really want to compliment numerous staff on putting this together. I mean, since our last meeting, these guys moved heaven and earth to have hard copy for us to look at today to move this process forward. So Rick and Alana, and there were several others involved that whose name is escaping me right now. But
well, OHPR, Stanton's been to have a revert where much of a fine draft.
No, thank you. The okay, let's flip to two.
Who's into the wordsmithing thing? This talks on line 18 about enrolling any Oregonian with an Oregon health card. Somewhere, I assume that means before we get to eligibility, we'll talk about what an Oregon health card is, right?
Yeah, we've got to add some definition to that. And
or something, yeah.
But, you know, we're talking about...
Or is it up there?
No, it doesn't explain it, though.
What?
The Oregon health card is pretty
well defined in 329.
How does this relate to 329 specifically?
These are what's going into parts of 329. I mean, we've refined, honed. I think we've improved 329. I mean, through the committee process.
Yeah, it's just a note to make sure that this isn't the first time we mentioned an Oregon health card.
Right. In terms of where these are going to be staged within the bill, we do not take a lot of time to try to figure out where it's following structure yet.
We just think these are major topics that really many of the proposals in front of us address. There can be nuances, changes yet again, but we wanted to start improving 329 through the committee process, and I think that's what we've done a very good job of in terms of eligibility, access, benefits, transparency.
Is this different than the Oregon Health Fund Board?
Where are you looking?
I'm looking at 329. Is this entity the Oregon Health Fund Board?
We backed off on coming up with a name because I don't like any name that we've come up with yet. We're going to have a name the entity, but the answer is no.
Well, I mean, but you said this is going to be amending 329. Are there things coming out of 329 that are currently in there?
No, not as of yet. I mean, there could be, but it'll be a committee decision, obviously.
The Oregon Health Fund Board, the Oregon Health Fund is not the same as the entity.
Could be.
I'm looking at Section 3 on page 2 of 329.
Well, you're ahead of me because I don't have a copy of the bill.
I'll loan you Lori's copy. That I just
I'm the only one that brought it. Note that for the record.
When we drafted 329 before session, we purposely left certain parts open to change because we knew we had to talk about it here when we got to session.
This is I don't mean to confuse you as you're wrong.
I think we need to stay on board with this. And
yes.
These are questions we've been asked about 329, and what is your answer? These are the answers.
We
tried to incorporate what's
been
talked
about. It's
just
the answer I got about the health card is it's in 329, so I went to look at 329 and then found this other board and wondered if it's up. No, okay. I withdraw the question.
People were having trouble with the vernacular of board, Mitch. So we dropped off the name, Mitch, and deemed it the entity for to facilitate communication. And I'm glad to see you're coming back around on the board thing. That's okay.
I think we should name it the Mitch Greenlink Organ Health Trust.
What is it? Mitch Greenlink Memorial Board.
Entity Board.
Not Memorial. You're not getting off that
easy. Entity Board.
You are not getting off that easy.
I'm sorry. Let's go.
Yeah, let's keep looking at page 204 on eligibility and access.
Note that what's on the bottom of page 2 is beginning to talk about responsibilities not of the of the entity, but of the health plans. So there's a switch there that it's saying the health plans will have this set of responsibilities.
Well, both are critical. Mm-hmm. And you can't have one without the other.
Three here goes to how far, how much authority do you give the entity? And it's that push and shove that's going to be really important.
Well, surely nobody would argue that the entity should have the authority to require health plans to meet certain criteria. I mean,
the question is, what's that criteria? What are those standards? How far down do you push that?
And here it's pushing it to the health plans.
Pardon?
I think it's great.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I think this is exactly, I mean, I think this deals with some of the questions that Representative Richardson was talking about. I mean, I think it makes, nobody would argue that if you are going to have accountable health plans, then you shouldn't hold those health plans to a set of standards. I mean, I don't think that's going to be an issue. The issue is going to be the entity's authority rather than the health plan's authority, I think. I was complimenting her. You got to listen carefully.
How are we doing on 2?
This is like 8.9.
I'm fine.
Dennis, looking okay? Ron? Senator Morissette, you'll be happy. You've got
rural all over this thing.
Have the word foundation down here?
But we've got
rural health ombudsman in here someplace. It's in code, but it's here. Are we good with 2?
One question here, and this is beyond the discussion here a little bit, but the ERISA laws and how we are going to get around that with the small group, large group, medium group.
Don't have to, the entity will.
Excuse me?
We don't have to do that. The entity will do it.
We'll provide standards for the health plans.
We've done quite a bit of
work with legislative counsel on ERISA.
Behaviors. That's my behavior.
I think we're in good shape. Fair enough, though.
Yeah.
Good comment.
The question then would be that everything here should be tested against ERISA, basically. Is a fair way to...
The question is... Who can opt out? Who can we prevent from opting out? Because in a lot of cases, we don't have the authority under existing law to require many people to opt in. If they're self-insured?
I think we have the authority to require everybody that's not self-insured, right? I think.
And part of what you're getting off into is the finance side of the equation. So, you know, we're not there yet. But, yeah, I mean, legit comment. Okay, are we all?
Just one question. Maybe it goes to the third page, pre-existing conditions going from self-insured into the Oregon, into this plan.
Come up with pre-existing. I think we get that on page 3.
Thank you.
Everyone good on 2? Senator Morissette? What did I say? Representative? Well, that's where I first
I was a representative, too. I've been thinking about motivation and so on, the kitten, carrot and stick thing, and Massachusetts did an interesting thing in terms of penalties and rewards for enrolling, and if you didn't enroll, there was a penalty and so on. And I still am wondering about, you know, people who choose not to belong. It's not universal unless it's a single payer. You can't, and, you know, I think, so once it's, it is an optional thing, and I just wonder if we've thought about incentives or mandate, well, not mandate, incentives. If you enroll, you get certain breaks. If you don't enroll, you get penalties.
I'm assuming it's got to be individual mandate. I mean, I don't see how you can do something like this without actually having an individual mandate. I guess that's something we need to ask about.
329 has an individual mandate in it.
Yeah.
And you lose your tax deductibility if you don't join.
Oh, okay.
Just as Massachusetts did.
Okay, that I guess it's need to go back and reread 329 because I think that's important.
Which is a sort of mandate, but not exactly a mandate.
Well, you can't take them out and shoot them, you know. I mean,
No. But I mean,
you have to take care of them.
But you can opt out. It's just you pay a price, and in terms of deductibility, you do.
I think you can incent, Bill. You get to universal health care, you're still going to have people that aren't participating for one reason or another. I mean, goal's 100, and, you know, be happy if you get to 95. Be prepared for 100. Okay, page 3. Hope you've all been reading.
I guess I have a problem with line 2.
Okay.
2 and 3. Operate during hours. I would.
I'm sorry, I'm reading here.
Wait, where are you?
Page 3.
Line 2.
Lines 2 and 3. When you're.
How would you see that written?
Well, it's pretty down in the weeds to dictate what hours they're going to operate, at least. The entity might be able to talk about this stuff, but I don't think we should legislate that piece into it. I mean, it needs to be more broad. I'm questioning how to get there, but
yeah, I
just think that this is too into the weeds for this for us to tell the entity what to do.
Actually, this doesn't tell the entity to do that. It tells the accountable health plans to do that. Everything at 3 talks about the health plans.
No. Right. So,
but if an insurance company told me what hours to operate, I probably wouldn't sign up.
But you're on the front lines of this thing, Ron. So, what we're trying to get to is really a patient-centered service. Fit the delivery system around the patient as opposed to shoehorning the patient into the delivery system, which we do too much of. And the truth is it's got to be, you know, someplace in the middle, I think.
We would operate longer hours if we had staff to do it.
Actually, this doesn't say that, though.
Hmm?
I mean, that's not what this says. What this says is that they would have networks of providers where the network would provide the appropriate hours. It doesn't talk about individual providers. It seems to me that could make sense. You could say, you know, here's the way this network will make sure the service is available when they need to be available.
But I think Ron's point, again, truth is someplace in the middle.
I don't think you can tell an individual provider what hours to
I agree with your interpretation. I just was throwing it out there. It's fine.
What does all local collaborators mean in line 4?
There's a goodly number of these springing up. Bend has one. This is part of your wraparound services in Eugene. In Bend, we have the Volunteers in Medicine Clinics. Far be it from us, you know, to, you know, take some of these, you know, incredibly, you know, effective, noble, you know, service delivery, you know, components in the service delivery. That's what that's all about. give a better descriptor for that,
no,
Bill?
No, but do you have something in here to tell the entity to ask them what they think first?
This is about,
well, it says include.
This is about the Affordable Health Plan, not about the entity. So this says if you have an affordable health plan, they have to take into account the safety net that's in their area.
Okay. There, I guess I'm still hung up on the idea of getting input, and you guys are going to go out for, you're going to be in Springfield, actually Lane County this.
And we hope you're going to be there with us.
I will
us.
Be there to introduce you and raise some questions for you to answer when you speak. But no, I think you're going to hear 100% access in Lane County. And I think that is one of the very best local group of collaborators, providers in the state of Oregon. And I think they have their ideas on what constitutes a good health plan. And I'm sure they have some very prejudicial concerns, perhaps, of what might happen to their organization when the entity suddenly takes over. I mean, how are they going to fit in? And I imagine that's the reason you're going there, right?
Bill, time out.
Yeah.
This is not about the entity or Mitch's new favorite word, board. This is about what the plans, the AHPs, will be required to do.
Okay.
And that includes, you know, taking into account these community collaboratives. We've just got an FQHC that opened up in Bend. There's one in Prineville. There's one in Madras. There's an accredited one in Lapine. Last thing we're trying to do is say, throw these guys overboard.
Oh, no, you're not.
Right.
It's impossible.
Mr. Chair, exactly. I suggest, too, that maybe just in the structure of this, we do a little bit better job of differentiating. We segue quickly into the plan from the entity. We could actually structure this to show a break, and now talk about the plans separate from the entity's global responsibility. So maybe it's in the structure, we could just, it could almost be a separate, you know, section of the bill, for example. We may want to make it clear. There seems to be some confusion because we do segue too quickly into plans.
Right. I think that's a good idea. Do the break from the entity to AHPs. Because we do that. I mean, you know, we come down, we're talking board, and then we get to three, which is AHPs.
Without sounding cliche-ish, is that a word, cliche? Yeah, cliche-ish, is we do not address the accountable health plans. I believe that one of their tasks should be to evaluate alternative health care delivery systems. There's nothing in here about innovation, creativity, and making that part of their business plan is that they're looking at different ways to succeed.
But wouldn't that come under benefits? This is eligibility and access.
Well, but I think I understand where Representative Maurer is going. And in four, we require the entity to come up with a five-year plan for evaluating the implementation and how things are going. I think that, while it doesn't speak directly to your point, addresses that concern. This thing better be the, you know, the epitome, the quintessential definition of, you know, while utilizing all of the existing assets that are already out there, of how we mix and match those to come up with a better delivery system. This can't be the same old, same old. I mean, I thought that was implied from day one.
And in I'm looking at population demand. I agree with Representative Maurer. Population demand, including unique health needs, and then they list special needs or disabilities, demand for culturally appropriate health care services, but also the population demand for alternative health care. Is that where you're going or not?
It wasn't specific. No, I think that's a different issue, right, which is fine. But, I mean, at every avenue, we want to encourage organizations, boards, AHPs to, you know, to, let's try something else because what we're doing right now ain't working. So let's, you know, encourage them, incent them to innovate.
No, I absolutely agree with that. I think the staff ought to think about something after K, about one of the criteria you hold the health plans to is continuous improvement and innovation in the delivery of health care. Seems to me that was something you would try and encourage.
That's very JACO of you.
If I include
joint commission. That's very joint commission of you to say that.
If I include encourage plan innovation after K, we can wordsmith that better, but that's basically we're looking for innovations coming from the plan up as well.
Innovations and alternative delivery systems with additional information.
So you want to put that after K, or you want to put that?
I put it after K.
Well, put it after K and in the lead in paragraph in 4?
To be measuring that, huh?
Bottom up, top down? Take a note on that, Rick, because I think that's, so you've got to have an L under 3.
Right.
And then in the opening paragraph of sub 4, paragraph 4.
Right.
What we're trying to do is look, for innovation coming from both directions, bottom and top. I think that's a good addition.
How about looking for best practices?
We've got best practices.
Well, okay, we're looking for innovations, but some people are going to say, well, gee, we've been working on this thing and we have it down now, and I think what we're doing is a best practice and nobody's paying attention to us. I think if there was a best practice, taking a look around the state, and again, when we go to Lane County, you might see some best practices that, need to be noted. And I think that would be one of the first things that the entity would be doing is looking for best practices that already exist and how they could be replicated.
We've got,
somewhere.
Sustainability.
That's what I already know.
Well, the delivery systems vary around the state, and there are some that are better than others, and I think I've always felt one of the first steps would be to identify those that are really outstanding and find out why, and find out how they, what their organizational structure is, and if they can be implemented in other places. I mean, that to me would make sense in building any new structure.
I think that's a primary function of the entity.
We're going to tell them to look for innovation, look for best practices first to see what is out there.
After H, should I have implementation of best practices or
I don't know implementation.
Evidence-based practice.
Okay, you're looking for innovation. Why don't you look for what already works as well as innovation? I mean, why do you assume everyone has to innovate? Maybe some are already there. And it just seems like that would be one of the things that you would encourage people to innovate. That's good. How do you identify what's already best or what's already working is what I'm saying. That should be part of the structure.
Well, on line 36, we're talking about health disparities and quality.
Wait, are we already over on?
Oh, I'm still on 3. Page 3 at the bottom.
26.
About line 26.
Yeah, okay.
There we're talking about health disparities and quality. And that's the evaluation and monitoring plan will include. Would Senator Morissette's evidence-based outcomes fit there? When you talk about quality, in my mind, always quality is based on evidence-based outcomes. I think it's covered.
Do you think Gloria Point under evidence-based practices?
Some guys are already doing it very well. It's covered in line 26, page 3.
Health disparities in quality. So you identify disparities and you identify quality. Is that what you're saying?
Well, quality to me is evidence-based outcomes, evidence-based practices, all that evidence-based stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I don't know.
Paragraph 4 really speaks to the whole, to your whole concern.
Well, okay.
It doesn't specifically say evidence-based. Rick, did you have something you wanted to...
No, Robert said tomorrow.
My only comment, Senator Mona Sanderson, the issue is defining quality. What is quality? And quality, a lot of times, is in the eye of the beholder. In a lot of ways, we in healthcare are unable to give a very good definition of what that means. And so I would suggest that you maybe you just give best practices its own line.
And I look at quality in this sense as a collaborative effort of a number of providers coming together and complementing each other. They do it as a unit, and that's what the whole thing is about, is a lot of different providers hooked together under a system of, I hate to use the word transparency, but at least you know where you're going and why you're going. And so it isn't just quality is in terms of an individual practice. It's quality of the unit that's working together. And going back to the thing that we saw in Alaska and the one we saw in Sweden, those are small units, weren't they, Dennis? Yeah, they're small units that work well within a bigger unit.
Well, in Alaska, it's 43,000 people in their unit. It's a pretty good size population, but it's a closed population.
Yeah. Well, in Sweden, wasn't that an equivalent of a county or two counties?
It spread over a number of areas because it dealt with the tribe, native Alaskans.
Yeah.
And so they had some areas that had to be flown to. They had their own hospital. They had local clinics. They had members that actually went to different clinics because it was more convenient than to utilize the services that was provided for them under their system. So there was a lot of crossover, too.
Well, the only way I see this working is if you have adequate local providers in a given geographic area that put together a really good plan, and then where you have geographic dispersion, you have to create something to make it work.
You're talking about incentives based on a geographical area and a population or culture?
Bill, is that different than what you see in line 1 up above there? Building sufficient networks of providers who have the capacity to provide culturally appropriate services? I mean, it seems like that's...
Okay, yeah, okay. Well, when we're talking about looking for innovation, it just struck me that, first of all, you got to look for what's already there, and then maybe that covers it. Yeah, you have to build a capacity that touches on it, but it doesn't.
I don't think you can have evidence-based practices in any document too often, so let's just put it in.
Let's just put it in.
Just sort of sprinkle it around.
Yeah, sprinkle it around. Mitch.
Yeah, I'd like to raise a larger question on sub 4. There is a difference between evaluation and monitoring. And it seems perfectly legitimate for me, for the entity to be monitoring the performance of the individual AHPs. But I think evaluating the whole system, I think, would need to come from somewhere outside. And I'm not sure what that outside is, but it would seem to me the entity ought to be evaluating and monitoring the performance of the individual plans. If that's what 4 means, that's not a problem. But I think we're talking about an evaluation of the overall process and how it was implemented and things like that. And I think that needs to step outside of the entity.
I mean, like contract with someone?
Well, it would seem to me the responsibility for developing an evaluation of how the new healthcare system is doing can't come from the person who's from the entity who's designing and implementing the new healthcare system. So I think there are two separate functions. One is evaluating and monitoring the performance of the AHPs, the other, and maybe that's all that we mean in four, and if it is, then we should make it explicit. And that's what we're talking about. But at the same, and that's a very important function, but at the same time, we as lawmakers is going to want somebody to say to us, here's how this whole process has been working. And I think that probably needs to come from outside the entity itself, I think. At least it feels like it should. Yeah, an independent evaluation of.
So who's going to create the entity? The legislature.
We are creating the entity.
And who should oversee the entity? The legislature. That's the outside group.
But Mitch, what if I'm trying to get you off this entity because we got you to board here about 30 minutes ago.
I don't care what it's called.
But what if the entity is, you know, establishes, you know, a very relevant, robust set of key performance measures? I mean, themselves, they're not there to, you know, to fail or to endorse mediocrity. They want to know themselves. Couldn't they do it in that regard themselves?
Well, human organizations tend to want to look good. I mean, I think there is the question of internal evaluation and monitoring, and I thought at first that's what four was, and evaluation and monitoring the performance of the whole enterprise. I think those are two different functions, and I'm not even sure that ought to be under eligibility and access. I mean, we might want to move that somewhere else to make this discussion easier, but it is very clear to me the entity should be evaluating and monitoring the performance of the AHPs. I just think we might want this bigger evaluation. How do we do, guys, over the last 5 years? Not to come from somebody saying, I did great. I mean, that's what's worrying me.
But here's the
somebody
performance
else say,
measures.
They did great.
Mr. Yeah. Chair. Senator Bates.
I'm going to try to put a face on some of this conversation, if I can, just for a minute. You notice I've been in and out of here for the last hour, showed up 20 minutes late and got in and out like a yo-yo.
Yeah, you want to reintroduce yourself to the committee?
I used to be Al Bates. I don't have any more. At 5 to 5, I get a call from my office from a man who has gotten acute renal failure. Renal failure means his kidneys have shut down. He doesn't realize it yet. His lab data is in three different systems in the Rogue Valley. He doesn't know how sick he is. He just doesn't feel very good. We have to figure out which insurance company will allow him to go to which hospital for admission. We have to get data out of three different systems to try to compare them so we know where we stand. You guys are talking about access here, about being timely, appropriate, and open. This guy could have died in the last hour. I've been on this phone, bouncing around, getting all this information together, and finally getting him into a hospital in about 10 minutes from now to get him on dialysis the next 24 hours. We have a system that does not function. We have a dysfunctional system that is going to kill people and is killing people. So the entity, which I like to call the Oregon Health Trust, is needed to start getting these people to talk to each other, make systems talk to each other, have access available for patients. This is the real world I deal with. And I just went through a very frustrating an hour and 15 minutes trying to get the system to work that is designed not to work.
But this, Dr. Bates, that's my point. Do. I mean, that's exactly my point. My point is that the entity ought to say, if he's a member of an accountable health plan, we're going to evaluate that accountable health plan to make sure this sort of thing doesn't happen.
I'm with you. That's
evaluation and monitoring is different than the evaluation and monitoring and say, we've made this huge social innovation here, and how did this huge social innovation do? I mean, did it make a difference to the population? I mean, I think that's a question that's a different question than the first one. Now, maybe the same entity can do both of them, but we ought to make sure what it is we're talking about here as to which of those jobs it is we want them to do.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, I understand the distinction you're making. Let's think about that for a while.
Yeah, let's put that in a note.
Well, in some ways, maybe I'm oversimplifying. I think there's some of this that's a no-brainer. The legislature is going to create this super-duper entity and pay them lots and lots of money. And the legislature is going to be responsible for whether or not they perform or screw up. And the legislature has a mechanism that I think is very effective called performance measures, and we nail people to the wall right now. We make sure that they give us the performance measures, and if we don't like them, we say, go back and do it again. And that's the way we measure if something is working. And so I think anything that we create, we can't suddenly say, okay, someone else is going to evaluate you, and hopefully everything is going to be okay. This is our baby. This is ours. We need to not only create it, we need to oversee it. We need to appoint some kind of a non-bureaucratic thing, which is a contradiction of terms. I mean, any time you're going to create another bureaucracy.
And I don't have a problem with that. Then this should not say the entity will do that. This should say the performance of the entity as a whole will be held accountable against these standards. But that's not what 4 says.
And we're the ones who are going to hold it accountable.
Well, we've got that up on the board.
Maybe not you and me, but
as an external evaluation concept. So,
well, we're it.
Let's. Okay. Anything else on page 3? Okay. Page 4. Continuation.
This isn't how the program pays providers, is it? Isn't this how the accountable health plans pay providers?
This is, four, we're back to the entity.
I'm assuming the entity won't be paying providers.
No, but this is the evaluation and monitoring plan that includes.
But it says how the program pays providers. Well, unless providers means the accountable health plans.
Evaluating the rate.
Yes.
I believe using the word monitoring the health plans providers.
Yeah, I think so.
You want money in both?
Well, it's how the program pays the health plans and how the health plans pay providers. That's really the two pieces.
Mitch, are you okay with that?
Yes, I am.
All right. Any more comments on eligibility and access? All right, let's dive into transparency. One page. Was that the easiest one for you to go to, Rick?
Just do whichever one Rick
finds first.
Transparency.
How is this different than 3 on that we just finished?
Thank you.
It's getting late, but I don't understand how any of this relates to the entity. See, when we're talking about a laissez-faire, free, open market, I don't understand what it means here.
I think the entity is going to have a key function in not only driving transparency, certainly among the plans and the providers, but also as a repository, access, easy access of information for not only providers but the public.
Why isn't that in the section we just did?
Well, again, we get into the trouble of all these are responsibilities of the board, the entity.
I view it as two very different things in what we did under eligibility and access. Transparency has been an issue in hospitals and with insurers.
Yeah.
And I believe...
I agree with that, but we're talking about a universal system.
That could fit into... eligibility and access. I just see this as different.
And, well, it's because I don't think Section 4 before belonged in eligibility and access. But Section 4 before talks about evaluation and monitoring, and now this is talking about oversight, which is monitoring. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the whole thing's about transparency. The whole thing is about getting data that needs to be made public. I don't see transparency as a separate issue. Or maybe this is where the whole Section 4...
I was going to say, you want to move Section 4?
Good point.
That's feasible.
Good
so
point.
We're talking about evaluation, monitoring, and public information or something.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Bates.
What we're trying to get to here, I believe, is have an ability for... accountable health plans, individuals in the public, hospitals, physicians, to have some place to go to find out factual information about cost of procedure, as an example. Which hospital do I want to go to for my bypass? Give me some factual information I can base that on. What is the number of days in ICU in Bend, Oregon, compared to Salem, Eugene, and Portland, and why do those days vary? Those kinds of really serious questions. I'm going to pick a doctor to do my colonoscopy. Which one has the highest rate of perforation of bowel and the lowest rate of perforation of bowel? Those kinds of questions and information people really need to make their decisions, and that information is not available to them.
But these are all issues on the quality of health care, not on the transparency of it. If we haven't already talked about how we measure and monitor and control the quality of health care, then... I mean, I don't see it as a transparency issue. I see it as an inherent issue on monitoring the quality of the healthcare system.
My experience has been that a lot of information is not explicitly available to others. Mm-hmm. We don't know what those quality answers are. And this says we're going to be transparent. We're going to get that information out there so people can have the first chance to really make some judgment decisions about what they want to do as an individual. Health plan may decide, you know, how do I want to set up my panel? You know, and there's lots of questions that become to the surface here that transparency can answer for those people. We don't have any way of looking at that right now. And I think this makes a very clear statement that for the first time we want a healthcare system that truly is transparent. It gives you some factual information that people may feel a little uncomfortable about sometimes. We've heard testimony here and last year about when things were sort of brought to the eye of a hospital or that changes occurred. Improvement occurred. And I remember going through that very carefully. Transparency, I think, is a very big issue, and this is just one of those threads we're going to weave all the way through 329.
And I see 4 in eligibility access more as a responsibility. Granted, there's overlap, but more the responsibility, you know, of the board for evaluation. Certainly that involves numbers and data and outcomes and quality and cost. But I see the section on transparency more as availability of information to the public.
Go to page 2 of the section we just finished and look at line 19 through 25.
Okay.
Is this something different than that? Ensure that enrollees have access to information about cost and quality of services associated with all products offered by plans and procedures offered by providers?
This is telling the plans.
Yeah, but everything's being done by the plans.
Well, but if you've got a plan here, a plan there, like we hope to have, you know, where's the easiest place? I mean,
the plan.
But if you're not enrolled in a plan, where are you going to go?
We're going to have people in this that aren't enrolled in the plan?
No.
Not everybody's being enrolled in one plan or the other.
But if you want, say you want to change plans.
Mitch, this is what the difference is for me. It may not be for others. 19 through 25 talks about what they're going to measure, what they're going to evaluate. Transparency, the key thing to transparency for me is on line 2. Public reporting of quality and cost information. That is a big change. Mm-hmm. Public reporting of quality and cost information, very specific things. Maybe I'm missing the boat here.
That's different than ensure that enrollees have access to information about cost and quality?
Public reporting.
Well,
hold on. It overlaps? Is that?
Well, I think it overlaps, and I think there are two levels of where CARE has. I think every facility should be providing information about its cost and quality. You know, I believe that. I believe the Patient Safety Commission ought to be mandatory and public. I don't have any problem with that. But I don't think that's the entity's responsibility in this case, unless the entity's taken over the whole healthcare system. And we're saying that it's not. We're saying that it doesn't relate to, at least at the moment, to Medicare, that it doesn't relate to self-insured plans. I think we have to find that in the healthcare system, and it has to be there. And I think that the accountable health plans have to make sure that their members have the information they need. But I'm not sure that there's a role for the entity in the middle of overall system transparency and health plan transparency.
But what if the accountable health plan isn't providing that level of information?
This says that they have to. I mean, we've already said that they have to do that.
So
that
who determines that?
The entity should be monitoring the health
plan. Right.
But it's not saying that the hospitals have to be accountable, and there's no reporting requirement for them. That the insurers have to be accountable, and there's no reporting for them. I can see where there's definitely an overlap with accountable health plans with what's on page 2. But
those are the insurers. Those are the insurers under the control of the entity.
Mitch, if you were to put in eligibility and access language, you talked about the public reporting of the things in those four pages. Do you think that, in essence, would get you to what you're talking about here? We've artificially separated these. Is that what you're saying to us?
I think we need transparency in the healthcare system.
Right.
No question about that. We have this entity that is going to be managing care for a component of the population, not the whole population, and we have under them affordable health plans. I think the entity has to be insisting that the health plans make transparent the data that the members of the health plans need. I think we need a separate mechanism to ensure that, for example, I don't think the entity has legitimate authority over all the hospitals in Oregon. It doesn't have standing to be doing that. We need to be doing that. Do we need to be doing that? You betcha, Red Rider. But we need to be doing, that may not be a culturally sensitive term, but we need to be doing that on another. We can't give the entity responsibilities that it doesn't have the authority to fulfill.
Unless we give it that authority.
Yes, exactly.
Unless we have all the hospitals in the state now being owned by the entity, or reporting to the entity, or regulated by the entity. Do we perceive that the entity will be regulating hospitals in the state of Oregon?
Not directly, but the information they can garner from there should be made available to the public and to the health plans.
Even when it has nothing to do with the entity. The information under Medicare, say.
I would think so.
For transparency again.
But then we need to give the entity a whole different function that we haven't yet given it, and that's the regulation of the state hospital system.
We're talking about reporting. It's going to gathering information, and so it has
going
to
requirements.
Power to require and to get reports from all providers, including hospitals and everyone else, to add to this pool of information that will become transparent to users.
Even for people who aren't the responsibility of the entity.
Correct.
That's okay. We're going to move the Patient Safety Commission under the entity. I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to, I think it's going to have enough to do.
So, are we on the same page?
I don't think we're in the same book.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
All right, we'll let that sit for right there. Senator Morissette.
We struggle mightily in Senator Morris Anderson's committee on transparency, and the insurance companies say that's proprietary information. We're not going to give it to you. The hospitals, that's a huge issue. And if we gave the entity, I guess, legislatively the authority to do that, that's fine. And I see transparency in billing and costs, that kind of transparency.
Utilization.
Quality transparency. Somebody else has to judge that quality. But I think the transparency is talking about how much is it going to cost and tell me up front. I don't know that that's going to happen. That's a huge struggle.
And that's what it says in the section we just agreed to under eligibility. A health plan, a member of an accountable health plan has a right to know up front what it's going to cost them. We've already done that. Now the question is, what are we doing here?
Oh, we better incorporate that in the statute.
The section on eligibility and access.
Oh, yeah. When the time comes. That's a statutory issue.
Yeah,
that's the door left.
I think the entity will have the authority to do everything, needs to have the authority to do everything it needs to do for the people it's responsible for, which includes any numbers of things. But it does not, we do not want to burden the entity, which has enough responsibility, it's going to be a hell of a job, beyond the scope of what we're charging it to do. And that means it can't handle the total hospital transparency. We need to find another place to do that in the system. Do we need to do it? Yes, we do.
Unless you give the entity the statutory authority and enough capacity, then what's the difference?
When the entity has the responsibility for the health care of every Oregonian, it then has the authority to insist on getting information about every Oregonian. We're going to give this entity, if it gets by Senator Cruz and Representative Richardson, a lot of authority to do a lot of things. I don't think we need to burden it with authority that it doesn't need to do the job we're giving it. And taking over the transparency system for the state, I think, is more than we want to give it, I think.
You would then want them not to be gathering data on self-insureds and Medicare recipients, I'm thinking, and federal employees.
I would not give it the responsibility of doing that. I would give it the responsibility and the authority to gather whatever data it needs to serve the needs of the, 60% of the population we're going to be handing it.
But how do you separate out hospital care for that 60 or 70%?
By separating out hospital care for that 60 to 70%.
So you create up a whole another structure? No one's arguing the need for...
Structure is the accountable health plan.
This is a question I like to ask, I mean, if you ask me about my patients in the healthcare, how what their A1Cs are, whatever, and you want to do it by payer mix, it would be very difficult for me to do that. I have to separate out Medicare and federal employees, private pay, underinsured, Medicaids.
Let me give you an example.
I wonder if the people we're asking this information from wouldn't have the same problem. They can give you the numbers in aggregate, but I'm not sure they can separate it out by payer mix. So it might be harder for them to do that than give them the entire thing.
CalPERS has been insisting for years that it gets data from its payers and its hospitals on the quality and cost of its system. And I'm not arguing that we need to do what's being stated here. We absolutely need to do what's being stated here. The question is the proper place to put it in the entity when it doesn't have the full authority for the healthcare system? I want to make hospitals produce this data. I want to make insurance companies produce this data. I think we will have a bill that will make the insurance companies do some of it, and we'll pass it this week. And we'll have hospital infection rates. We're going to pass that in this session, and we'll have that as mandatory things. I'm convinced we're going to do that. And I believe we'll ultimately make the Patient Safety Commission be mandatory and public rather than voluntary and private. I think we're going to do all those things, and we need to do all those things. Here we're talking about a health insurance entity.
The phrase that must give you the most pause is all Oregonians. You would rather hear organs enrolled in accountable health plans. Would that be a better phrase for you?
Well, I'm the one that wanted to put all Oregonians at the top, and I was told putting it in, it means all Oregonians, but not Medicare and not self-insured and not some other people.
Yes.
Okay.
Being back at you.
We're with you on that all Oregonian.
Let's put in under the entity that it'll be responsible for regulating hospitals and health insurance plans in Oregon. Let's put it in, and then it'll have the legitimacy to be doing what we're talking about here. You know that won't get
reporting
through.
Reporting to me is a lot different than regulating.
Yeah, definitely. May I ask you a
question? Is perhaps in line one deleting the words and provide ongoing oversight? Just at the end, you shall create policy.
Where are you?
Line one. Okay. The end, you shall just taking out the words and provide ongoing oversight. That. Fix anything. So it would say the entity shall create policies and procedures that will ensure the collection measurements.
Entity shall in collaboration with this structure. Which partnership? The collaborative structure.
So if we know who they're collaborating with.
Thank you.
information.
Yeah. I think it looks good the way it is. You just have to figure out how to give that authority.
Is that more artfully expressed for you, Mitch, if we take out and provide ongoing oversight?
This one?
Well, I think if you don't have any problem with Senator Cruz objecting to the eligibility thing, you can get along with me objecting to loading this function on the...
Who does it then? Okay, you take it out of the entity. Who does it?
We change the laws of the Patient Safety Commission and make them do it in a mandatory and public way, which I think we're going to have to do by the next time anyway. And if there are other insurance companies left over after everything is an affordable health plan, we create a way to regulate them in terms of deal with transparency, but I don't think we do with the entity. Or we just move the entity to immediately be responsible for every Oregon citizen, which I'll vote for that. I vote for that too. And then there's some legitimacy to do this. I mean, then basically you give the entity, having done that, the authority to regulate the healthcare system, the whole healthcare system.
Then they could pay for everything. You got a single payer organization, and by golly, we got it covered.
It's getting kind of Orwellian, I think.
Well, but you don't want to get the money to have them pay for everything, but you do want to give them the authority to regulate everything.
Absolutely.
We got a single payer system financed by the state, then the entity that runs that system should have the authority to regulate the healthcare system. I don't have any problem with that, but we're not talking about that. No, nobody's talking about that. So I just don't think it'll fly. But everybody, I mean, I want transparency as badly as anybody else wants it. The question is, how do we get it?
That's the point. This is one way. We haven't gotten there. This is a new approach as you decide how the entity, a.k.a. board, should function. If it's going to function at all, why not allow it to have the power to collect data from all the various providers and sources so that it can make that information available as it sets up the internet, the telephone, and written forms. It's got to have data to work from. So, I mean, I don't see that as a huge drawback. You don't have to regulate hospitals to ask them to provide you with data.
Mm-mm.
Okay, then let me take on a different stage. We want to do that, and we don't. All we've given it here is the power to form a collaborative structure. So let's take that out. Let's say the entity shall. And then the entity will do it. Take out the collaboration with a collaborative structure. And I don't know what a collaborative structure is, and I don't know what if a collaborative structure doesn't want to do that. So if you want the entity to do this, I'll buy that.
Kay.
Strike out all this nonsense about collaborative structure and give the entity the authority to do these things. We can do that in statute. Let's do it.
Okay.
So just the entity shall...
Collaborate.
The entity shall.
Shall create a structure.
No, the entity shall, and then go right down to...
Oh, coordinate.
Go right down to line 12. The entity shall develop standards and processes to determine... I mean...
So in line 11, you knock out in collaboration with the structure. You just say the entity shall develop standards and processes to determine how cost quality information can be presented. Right?
Exactly. I mean, if we're saying they have the authority, then give them the authority.
Okay. Anything else on transparency?
It hasn't been very transparent.
The entity will not be transparent.
Flip benefits up there real quick.
Not sure.
Like A.
We need to have a definition of what basic health care is.
Benefits. A benefit package? This isn't a benefit.
And that's what I'm seeing A as doing.
It's not a benefit package. I mean, maybe I'm misreading A. Does A look like the Oregon Health Plan list?
Is that what you mean by the list of health care treatments and services?
That's not usually how you define a benefit package.
Well, you want to say that the policy is specifying treatments and services only?
Mm-hmm. What you're saying is you're going to, it is developing the basic benefit package.
Developing policies specifying the benefit package that all health plans must offer.
And I think that's a key there, all plans must offer.
Mm-hmm. Basic.
So I'm saying what the benefits package is.
Yeah, and you don't usually have a benefit package defined in terms of treatments and services. It might be services, but not treatment.
Basic services?
Basic benefits.
Or just benefits and services.
Is that one for you? Yes, correct.
See, I really, particularly when you go down to 2 and you're talking about the Health Services Commission, I think this is talking about an Oregon Health Plan list. If it's not, then it ought to be in terms of benefits rather than services. That's a common health insurance approach.
But the model we are creating is not based on the model that we have now, which is get sick, then you get treated. This implies, yes, healthcare treatments and services, to me, broadens the type of services that can be offered.
So this would say things like IV injections, kidney dialysis,
prenatal care,
otolaryngology examinations. This is services. Is that what we're imagining this to say?
What's the other approach you take for defining a basic health care package, whatever you want to call it? Well, how would you go about? What would the words you be used to describe that from a different direction?
Physician services, hospital services.
Basic hospital services, basic physician services,
essential.
That means everything. I mean, everything off hospitals offer, everything.
Leave hospitals
offer.
Out.
How do you limit that
off.
To a basic package?
So we're talking about a package without hospital service, huh?
I didn't say that.
You are limiting it if you start saying hospitals, physicians.
All right. Acute care, chronic care.
Preventative care.
Emergency care. That's fine. That takes care of everything. What's left out of that?
That's good.
Well, you could include that, for instance, some types of cosmetic surgery. You could include in that things that we wouldn't normally think of as a normal benefit package by saying it that way.
Well, the normal way that this is created, not counting the Oregon Health Plan, the normal way this is created is there are physician services, hospital services, lab and x-ray services, et cetera, except. And then there's a list of exceptions. That's the usual way that benefit packages are
diagnostic
defined.
X-ray and lab.
No, I think we mean something different in this, and so I think we need to spend some time working on it. And I think that difference needs to be somehow different than the Oregon Health Plan. But if you want me to take a moment, I'll tell you what I'm really thinking about.
You're going back to Israel.
No, I'm going back to I'm going back to the Oregon Health Plan. I think the list for the Oregon Health Plan works fine because in most instances it's only used to create a capitation rate to which accountable health plans can then do whatever they want to do. So what I was worrying about here was creating something like the Oregon Health Plan list that we really intend to enforce, rather than letting the health plans and their networks and their physician groups figure out how to deliver health care. Because I think the only reason this has worked in most cases, and that's why the fee-for-service physicians are so unhappy with it, the only reason this has worked in most cases is because it's only used to create a capitation rate, and then you let fully capitated health plans figure out how to deliver health care. Okay, they don't do brain transplants because brain transplants are out of the list, but they deliver health care. When they're working right, they deliver health care the way health care should be delivered, and they try and do it inside the capitation rate. I sense we want to create something like that here.
If I could offer, when you look at the Oregon Health Plan and its prioritized list and how it actually is used, of course, it varies. And we like to have that variation. In essence, with the managed care plans we have in the Medicaid program, the Oregon Health Plan, we in some ways do have accountable health plans. The entity that overwatches them is OMAP. And some plans have taken the issue that they have a prioritized list, they drive their health care off, and if they feel they can afford to pay for things that aren't on that list, they offer that to their patients, and they do. And an individual may say, this plan, while it's not on the actual essential benefit package, I've been told is covered by your plan and not by this plan, they can make a decision based on that. That's one of the decisions they'd make. Other plans will calmly look at the list and say, as an example, if you have a lumbar herniated disc and you have pain but no neurological loss, we are not going to authorize surgery for that because we know on outcome base there's no significant difference here.
But and they ought to be doing that whatever it says on the list, Alan. That's the point that I'm making.
No, I think that they should have a basic essential package they have to maintain. But if they want to do more than that, they should be able to do that within the bounds of what their financial resources allow them to do. If they've managed extremely well and have money they want to spend on more for their benefit package, that's okay. That's what they're competing for.
I would hope even if they have more, they're not authorizing surgery on herniated discs for which there's no evidence to do. I don't think that's a benefit issue. And I don't think it should be a benefit issue. I think that's a evidence-based healthcare issue, and I think that ought to be things between the physicians. I'm sorry.
It's in B. That concept. Isn't it?
Here, we can't hear you, Lori.
Oh, I was saying
that's in B.
He's covering it, or implying is in B.
I wasn't objecting to B. I was objecting to A. I think B is fine. I think C is fine.
I think A is trying to get at that all plans must offer. And what you're concerned about is the language of trying to define an essential benefits package.
Yeah, I think we don't, what I want to avoid is defining a benefit package in the context of disease treatment pairs, as we've done under the Oregon Health Plan, which served an extremely useful purpose and did a wonderful set of things at the time it did it. I think that's not the way to move to the future. And I just wanted to make sure that in reading A, we're not talking about disease treatment pairs as a way of defining what an essential benefit package is.
And the alternative is?
Sort of B. To say basically we cover the services that members need and that their physicians believe should be delivered to them, and we then try and find a way to make sure that the physicians have the way to work together in the population-based clinical practice model to create a set of standards for how they deliver health care inside an accountable health plan.
But A gives us sidebars. B doesn't give us those sidebars, and at least the way if we're going to start looking at cost containment, I don't see how we can get by without A.
How would you price it as far as, and this is something I don't know very well, I shouldn't be answering this question to you, and I really don't direct this at you. Would there be a problem, do you think, in pricing it if we don't know what the essential services are, or packages, or whatever you want to call it? If your entity, my Oregon Health Trust, didn't know what is being offered or what is defined as the basic package, how would they be able to rate the accountable health plans as far as a capitated basis is concerned? They have to know population mix, population size, and what the package has in it, I would think. Now, I don't know that for sure.
No, you absolutely do. I mean, you need to create an average, which is basically done by negotiation. An average price for an average population, then you need the factors to adjust it based on the individual characteristics of the patient. It's not the best way to go, but the Cooper's Librand, or whoever's doing it now, it started, I guess, with Cooper's Librand, it's now four organizations later. I mean, that's a pretty arbitrary model as well.
Do you think vesting duty of developing a basic package of services should be in the hands of the health trust, or should be in the hands of the legislature?
Well, neither. I mean, I think we should have a basic benefit plan, and I think the definition of how it's delivered should be in the accountable health plans.
Do you think each accountable health plan should develop its own basic services?
I think the answer to that is yes, if I have agreement on what the... I think we offer a fair rate, and we risk adjust it based on the nature of the population, and we turn it over to the accountable health plans to figure out how to deliver the benefit package that we've created.
We being
state.
We, in this case, probably being the entity. It's the list that troubles me here. I would say specializing in services that all plan must offer enrollees at a minimum. But by services, you usually mean, I mean, I would have said benefits, but it's the same thing. Physician services, hospital services.
So stating, developing policies, specifying services that all plans must offer enrollees at a minimum to participate in the program is acceptable language?
Yeah, it is, and it's back there down in two again.
What about benefits and services?
Well, I'm using services in this case synonymously with benefits. I would prefer benefits.
How about benefits and services?
Same thing.
I mean, you say...
Yeah, that's okay.
That's okay?
Yeah.
I have a clarification on that. Mitch, were you saying that rather than define benefits, that you determine what you can afford and then see what you can buy with that? That you get, that's like some providers might, or insurers or MCOs may come back and say that if I'm allowed a capitation rate of $280 per person per month, this is what I can provide. And then that would be maybe more attractive or less attractive than what some other provider might be able to give for that kind of a guaranteed income. I mean, we're talking about that as compared to having an entity sit back and say, well, while we're at it, why don't we provide this? And why don't we do this? And we certainly ought to do this. And then before you know it, you're in Massachusetts where it's, congratulations, it's $380 a head per month, and the whole thing falls apart.
Well, if we can do it for $380 a head, we're going to be okay. But that doesn't mean that the state has to pay that $380 a month. And that's a different discussion. It's how that $380 a month gets divided among individuals versus employers versus the state. I mean, that's a different question. But the fact is, a comprehensive health care package, which is what you and I want. Remember, when we started the Oregon Health Plan, and we had this list of benefits, this list of of disease treatment packages. We came to the legislature with a bill that said the legislators ought to use the same model for their own health plan.
Which I think is a great idea.
And it was rejected almost unanimously.
That's
almost unanimously.
We've made mistakes before.
Yeah.
And we'll make them again.
Yeah, we will. But the point is that what most people want is health insurance that allows them to get the services that they and their doctors believe they need, or they and their providers believe they need. And that doesn't mean if I need knee surgery, my doctor goes and looks at some list of services and says, is the procedure to reattach my quadricep muscles to my knee on a list here? Let's look down the list. Here's item 14, item 18. Oh, yeah, here it is down in item 33. Okay, you get your operation. That's not what people want to have happen. People believe that healthcare coverage ought to define what it is one needs to have happen. And that need relates to evidence. That need relates to economics. That need relates to a lot of things. But it's not predetermining a list of treatments that are covered. What's covered is my ability to get health care. Now, I think somebody ought to be saying, well, we've decided professionally as a group of physicians, we're not going to provide operations for herniated discs because they cause more damage than they do good. And that ought to be a decision that ought to be a medical decision that's made.
But we're talking here about a basic, a minimum. And you can always buy up, so to speak. And I hear what you're saying, but what you're saying is, I think, leads to an unsustainable system at this point in time.
Well, we need to test that. I think it's perfectly fine for you to have a basic system. I want to have a system that covers me for what I need. So I don't have any problem with it if it's you, Lori. I have a problem if it's me. I don't have a problem if it's Bates either. He can, but I have a problem if it's me. And I think I need to be here to represent, you know, what's beyond this veil. I don't believe we are talking about.
What I realize,
he's going back to Israel.
What I realize is it's all about Mitch. Right?
So, Mitch,
let me read something.
You need the quadruple organ transplant.
Mitch, can I read something to you?
You ought to be able to get that.
Yes, a kidney transplant.
No, the quadruple organ transplant.
I will tell you my prejudice. If all four are covered, then I ought to be able to get a quadruple. If they're all four covered individually. I mean, I never understood that decision at all. If you cover the individuals, why you don't cover them when they're together? But you want me to get them one at a time? That's not very efficient.
Put you in the queue.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to be in a queue.
Outcome measurement for one versus four is an exponentially lower successful outcome.
Yeah.
Someplace.
You save on the anesthesiologist.
Ration prioritized.
No, I'm not saying this shouldn't be done. I'm saying it shouldn't be done on an a priori basis in a benefit package. I'm saying when I train physicians now, I talk about the difference between their population-based clinical responsibility and their individual patient clinical responsibility. I want my group of physicians who are responsible to sit down rationally and decide what they as physicians should be providing in terms of evidence-based practice. I don't want that to be an insurance decision. I want that to be a team medical decision. I want my physician, when he or she is seeing me, to do everything that they can do for me based on the constraints that emerge in what I would hope would be an accountable health plan. No, I don't believe that everybody in the world can get everything. But I believe those need to be professional decisions, not health insurance decisions.
But if they're made by the professionals that are the doctors who have as their goal healing people and are not responsible for the financial consequences of the decisions, then you don't have the proper tension. I mean, there has to be this tension, otherwise it becomes too lopsided.
No, I think physicians need to learn, and I think we're training the young physicians, need to learn to have a set of
population-based clinical practice responsibilities. They're different than the responsibility an individual physician has when they walk into the examining room. I believe physicians operating together, and I believe this is the wave of the future, this is where evidence comes in, and this is basically what Alan was doing as head of the Health Services Commission in an insurance context, was saying we have to take resources as a group. And I want physicians and nurse practitioners and people who have to live with these decisions to make them as a group. And I want them to recognize there are not universal resources available. Resources are limited. And they need to make decisions. Should we be doing herniated disc surgery or not? And they need to look at the evidence that says, well, right now we're doing it on the basis of MRI evidence, and if we get 40 middle-aged men off the street asymptomatically, we'll find 30 of them will meet this criteria. So these aren't the right criteria. I want that to happen, but I don't see that as a benefits decision. And we have to create a system where that happens. And the only way that happens, actually, now, is by saying to a group of people, here's how much money you have. Figure out how to deliver care inside that money. It's the only way you operationalize the fact that there aren't unlimited resources.
Mitch, let me go back to an example, if I could, because I think I actually agree with what you're saying, and it's a big change for physicians to make this change. One has to be made. Let's go back to the back surgery situation. We know from right now, what we know of outcome-based evidence is that if a person has a herniated disc and radicular pain, and pain down their leg, but no neurological loss, and you look at 100 patients with the same problem, and you take 50 of them to surgery and operate and remove that part of the disc that's causing the pressure, and 50 of them you don't, that a year later or 2 years later, they're both the same. Both groups feel about the same.
Yeah. In fact, the non-surgery people probably...
Let's say for sake of argument they both feel the same, because that's pretty close to the truth. The incentive right now for the neurosurgeon is not to say to that patient, I want you on muscle relax, a little bit of pain medication, I want you to lose some weight, I want you to exercise, I want you to get yourself back in shape. I think you can avoid surgery if you do that. The incentive is for him to make $10,000 and go do an operation. I have neurosurgeons that I know who tell people, you don't need surgery, go do this and this. I have neurosurgeons who say, I think I can schedule it tomorrow morning. There is no incentive not to do the operation, a huge incentive to do so. I'm not accusing neurosurgeons of being bad people.
No, they're not bad.
But I'm just telling you, that's what's out there now, and that's what we're trying to change here. I think we both agree with that.
And the underlying problem is the fee-for-service medical care system. Mm-hmm. So, I would hope that we organize accountable health plans that don't make it in the best interest. I mean, basically what I say to a surgeon in that case is, okay, if you operate, you get $10,000. What about if you had to give me $1,000 in order to do my back surgery? I believe you're a good guy. I believe you would probably do it, but I know you would use a different set of criteria before you decided whether I was going to get back surgery. If I'm giving you $10,000 to get the surgery and you're giving me $1,000, and we need to create systems where that will cost that neurosurgeon $1,000 to do a surgery. Still might want to do it in the right time. So.
When it's appropriate. Let me make two more points real quick, and I'll call it quits. We are trying to make a decision here who is going to define a benefit plan one way or another. I don't believe we should do it here tonight at 7 o'clock. I think it's a job for the Oregon Health Trust to do when they sit down and spend hours and hours on it in the interim and really draw it up carefully and thoughtfully. Starting on line 6, how would you feel about language that says developing policies that require accountable health plans providers to use evidence-based eliminate treatments and prevention, and it'll use evidence-based services emphasizing primary care, management of chronic disease, and preventable care. Is that somewhere in the ballpark of what you're thinking
actually
of?
Actually, treatments belongs here.
He likes.
I think when you're talking about evidence-based, you're talking about evidence. You're talking about do you do back surgery or you not do back surgery.
So really treatments in there?
Yeah.
Eliminate. How would you want to read? Do you use evidence-based treatments and services or just evidence-based treatments?
I think services or benefits relate to the insurance piece of it. I think treatments relate to the delivery of care.
And I think B is about delivering care, and I think that is the way it should be.
But the doc mentioned primary care, preventative care, and emergency.
Emphasizing primary care, management of chronic disease, and preventative care. Or may not use the word care, use treatments.
I like B just the way it's written.
He likes B. He's concerned about A because that goes to a, you know, disease treatment model. Disease response model.
Okay. Should we emphasize primary care? Absolutely. We should be emphasizing preventive services? Absolutely. And the treatments we offer should be evidence-based.
You're okay with B the way it reads?
Exactly the way it reads.
Leave it alone then. And what do you want for A?
I want to take out healthcare treatments.
The list of healthcare treatments.
That's right. A list of services.
Okay.
I'm fine with
that. I'm not there, though. I still think that we need sidebars, and I think we should let this entity figure out what is in the best interests of the plan to determine that. And maybe it will come to be services just what you want, but I truly believe there needs to be at least the beginning of a basic plan. And then I like what the market will bear. Let that determine what extra benefits are offered in a plan.
Really what we're trying to decide here is something the entity or healthcare trust should be decided. Mitch is trying to go down another path that has some merit in the discussion. So, Mitch, what if we do this? Developing policies specifying essential services that all plans must offer enrollees.
Yes, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you get into B and C,
right.
Which put sidebars around that. I think that is where you get sidebars. Talking about essential health services.
Yeah, essential health services that all plans. See, what A is really trying to get at is all the plans got to offer at least the same thing as a minimum.
But I think a minimum needs to be there.
Well, it says that a minimum.
Right. So developing policies specifying essential health services
looking at the list of healthcare
treatment. And does that work?
It's interesting. If we decide something doesn't work, do we want to provide it if somebody wants to pay for it? I mean, my answer is, why would we want to?
Yeah. You know, Mitch, I'm going back in my mind to a meeting in 1992 that took about 8 hours, and we had a thing that said that the Health Service Commission will make up a list of priorities which they'll then present to the legislature to take slices out. We talked about whether we're going to use DRGs, whether we're going to use various forms of things we all saw up there. And we ended up going with treatment and diagnosis pairs. Nobody else had ever done that. And that's the route we went in that direction. We took it off one little sentence. This is significantly different than that sentence we took it off. This basically says to me, if I were, again, sitting on a commission that had to implement this, which is what we're asking this commissioner, health trust, or entity to do, that one, you want a general plan for each one of the HPs that's the same, that you want to make these accountable health plans use evidence-based treatments, and you want some emphasis on areas we've not seen emphasized before, which never occurred to us at that time. It was a matter of high-tech, go wherever you want to go sort of stuff, and use an open process. I think this broad language here is what is the kind of direction the health trust or the entity needs to, in order to make things go the direction we're roughly thinking of here. I think this gives them enough direction, but not tight, so tight that they can't function.
And that, you know, I helped write the sentence in 1988.
And I've cursed you ever since.
That you had to deal with. And there was a very important assumption that underlied it. And that was the assumption that we would provide health care for everybody under 1.0% of the poverty line. And what we would cut was the services that were available.
So we needed a greater system.
Yeah, we needed a greater system that you could say, okay, here's a line. It turned out we never, ever did that. We never tested that, which would be an interesting thing to test, because the federal government never let us do it.
Well, the test was supposed to be an open debate about where to raise the line to, and I think if that debate occurred, you say, these people are going to live, these people are going to die, I think that we would have come to the same place, but that's material.
Well, and the federal government said...
I think we have language here we can use.
Yeah, so I'm all for reliving history, but not at 7:10.
And 10 years from now, somebody will curse you for this language.
Hope it's not me.
Of all the expletives they use, they will be much fewer than the superlatives that are used to laud our work.
How profound.
Okay. Developing policies specifying essential health services at all plans. And I see the good Mr. Berkovian already has that in. Great work, guys. Really good work. And I really enjoyed this discussion tonight. There were some good points that were absolutely. Yeah, Lori's going gavel out. I've only got 45 more minutes or so.
If Wednesday we're talking about the Oregon Health Policy Commission report, I might want to bring a draft of a bill that I asked the LC to try and draft out of the. The Rorschach test that was that report. We might want to have that available to look at. I haven't read it yet, I have to admit. So maybe I'll read it first before.
That's why we can't get our amendments going crazy what you do with that.
Thank you, committee. Thank you, staff, for getting us this hard copy. And thank all of you for your endurance. And we apologize for the late start this evening. We are adjourned.
I think it's a good question.